every time we got everybody in the room,
yep.
we have David, we have Mike, is the system.
Yes.
And we are so thrilled to have you both here today. Thank you for dropping by. We got your song. We're excited about the extremely timely message and the timing in which you're putting it out and how necessary it is. But I don't even want to start there because I know that that's, you know, where we're ending. But I really want to start from the beginning. For those that don't know you, don't know about your background and how you guys even came together as a duo, can you please give us that story?
Dave?
I like it. I'm adjusting the light so I can do it. Let's see. We met many years ago in like 1982, mm-hmm. actually. And I was Mike was working for a company that I did a recording session for, and I met him at the session. Mm-hmm. And then he asked me to do a session for him, and I heard him sing, and I thought he was incredible.
And he is.
And so, let's see, one thing led to another. And Mike, go ahead from there.
Well, okay, so I'm going to take you, this is my take on it.
Okay, yeah, I want to hear your take. We usually
I first met Dave because I was working with this group called Clear. A lot of people might not know who they're really, you know, they were really popular in the early 80s, funk band from Baltimore. I was their manager was my mentor growing up. So from the age of like 14, I used to go from high school and go to Atlantic Studios where this gentleman, Dennis King, was a mastering engineer. So as I grew up, he got this band Clear and they were touring and they needed a keyboard player. So Dennis said, hey, I'm going to see this singer, you know, come with me, check him out. And I went to check him out and David was the keyboard player. I said, you know, I'm not so sure about the singer, but that keyboard player is really, really good. Maybe you should consider getting him in Clear, you know, as their keyboard player.
So, I love that.
Yeah, so they met David and they accepted David to be the keyboard player. And he was on tour and I was their road manager. So I was singing in bands and everything, but I was trying to learn my business. Yeah, that's better, Dave. So I was trying to get my business chops together. So I was on the road as like a tour manager, sound man, all of that. And David was the keyboard player. Now, at the time, I don't think he knew I was a singer previously. I'd been a singer since I was 13 in bands. So one day he said to me, kind of out of the blue, he said, hey, if you have time, come see me. I have a music loft at the music building on 8th Avenue. Come, I've been working on this song with this new drum computer thing that I have. Come listen. And see, maybe we could go in the studio. I have some studio time. Maybe we can go in. So I met him at the loft on 8th Avenue, the music building, which also Madonna started. A lot of musicians started in that building. They all had little lofts and everything.
Right.
So I had been in a band who was, you know, basically a funk band, you know, bass player, guitar player, drummer, you know, that kind of thing. But mm-hmm. in my mind, I had always envisioned this combination of, have you heard of this group, Kraftwerk? Express was a big song. I always in my mind was like, what if Kraftwerk and Rick James made a record together? That was my idea in my head. And everybody in my previous band kind of poo-pooed me, drum machines. I walk into this loft and David has this thing called Oberheim synthesizer and a drum machine and a DSX, which was basically a computer that could program the song. And he hit the play button on this song. And that song happened to be the basis of In Times of Passion. And I'm telling you, I kept my cool, but my head pretty much exploded. Because in my mind, I could already hear the song finished. David had no idea what it was going to come with. And he had a title because he had originally written the track, I think for Madonna.
Right? Yeah. Well, not for Madonna. I was... Not for Madonna, but I wrote it, and then she was going to do, you know, she had lyrics for it.
Yeah. Right. So they had a title, Crimes of Passion.
Right.
So I kind of played on that, and I changed it to In Times of Passion, because I knew I could build a story on that.
Okay.
All I had was the hook. In Times of Passion, give to me just what I'm asking. That's all I had. And Dave said, okay, great. Go home, write the lyrics, And I'll pick up tomorrow and we'll go to the studio in Long Island. So I went home, and I tell you, the lyrics kind of came out in about 30 minutes. Like I had the sections. If you know that song, you know there are drastic changes of beat and rhythm.
Yeah.
There's a real sexy section that really sits down, and there's a real hectic section. But it all came to me. It was no labor at all. It just all came to me. So Dave came, picked me up from my mother's house in Queens, like I was telling you.
Yep, Southside.
The studio on Long Island that David had done sessions for, and they owed him studio time, right?
Right, that's right, that's right.
So we went in. We got there probably about 10 o'clock. We recorded all the tracks, sang all the vocals, mixed everything by, like, I don't know, 11 o'clock that night, Dave?
Well, no, we finished at like 2 or 3 in the morning, actually.
Okay. So I get to my house. Dave drops me off. I'm like, man, this is great. In my mind, this is great. And I lived in my mother's basement. So I had the whole basement. I had a huge sound system and all
that. It always starts in the basement. I love it. Yeah, yeah.
Or the garage.
So it was probably, like Dave said, like 3 o'clock in the morning.
And
I played the cassette that I had full volume in my basement, and I said, this is it. Like, this is exactly what I've been waiting for. Wow. So that morning, I called my good friend Dennis King, and I said, hey, Dennis, I have this track that David and I worked on. Could you press some acetates? I actually have the acetate. It's like it's test pressing. So I knew two people in the record business from being around in the circle, and, you know, they always said, hey, if you ever have anything, bring it in, I'd love to hear it. Ray Caviano, who had RFC Records, and Jim Delahan, who recently passed away, worked for Atlantic Records. So I took the acetate there, and they both offered us a deal right on the spot. We didn't even have a name yet. So they offered a deal. So we're talking like from 9 o'clock that morning.
Yeah. The whole night.
Right. Well, for me, it was like
the corner phone booth, because there was still phone booths then. And calling David and saying, Dave, we have a record deal. He was like, what?
Where did that come from?
Right, that's right.
What were you going to say, Dave?
No, I was going to say that there was like, it was a total surprise for me. And it happened really in the space of, you know, I mean, I had been working on the track for a while. Mike wrote the song. We recorded it all in one day, and we had a record deal the next day.
Unbelievable.
And not only that, but the song was on the radio.
Yeah.
In less than 4 weeks.
Wow.
On WBLS. So
nice.
That's amazing.
Is definitely a story of where the talent and that passion comes together and creates that product that everyone is looking for.
That's
just the same way that you received it, Mike, and you were like, this is it. That's the same exact way the station and the label executives were like, holy cow.
Right.
You know? So then you knew that you definitely were on to something, right?
Right.
What came next?
Well, it was on the radio. You know, its passion was like a hit in LA and New York.
Yeah.
And we had, and other cities too, and, you know, many other cities. And we actually went and we did many TV track dates, they were called, you know, basically in Florida and other cities. And over the next couple months. And then the record company said to us, we want you to make another 12-inch. And we wanted to make another single. So we had a meeting with them, and Mike said, okay, look, why don't we just make an album? How much will you give us to make an album? And they said, whatever they said. And we went, okay. And we made an album.
That worked.
Because it was enough for us. Because they thought they were giving us a low number. We were like, nope, that's good.
That's where we need it.
Right.
And little did they know, we had already been working on a few songs, Dave.
Yeah.
Because we were doing these shows, and we would still say, well, let's write some songs, not knowing if we would ever make an album, but basically to make a follow-up single.
Right.
Proactive, we spoke last week about always being ready so you don't have to get ready, right?
That's right. You know,
this story is so inspiring because I think it's so easy to give up. It's so easy to say, I haven't found my sound yet, or I haven't found to be exactly where I need to be. But to see how you guys came together so organically, and it was so pure and just so amazing that everyone had to receive it.
No, I just want to say, add one thing to that whole story, just quickly. The way actually, Mike probably, the Mike actually asked me when I had a drum machine, he asked me to go to a studio. This is before you came to the loft building.
Oh, okay.
He wanted me to go and use the drum machine on a session with these Italian guys who had a studio. And yeah, we went there, and right, the two Italian guys who owned the studio, we were trying to come up with a beat, and they were arguing over what the hi-hat pattern should be or something. And they started fighting and yelling at these, wow, two Italian guys. They were yelling at each other. What did this guy get me into? You know, you know, and they were yelling at each other. And then I looked over in the corner, and Mike was just kind of, he poker faced, just kind of sitting in the corner. And I thought he was nervous. He started singing. That's when I
Okay.
And I thought, this freaking guy is amazing. He's an amazing.
You calmed the beast with that voice. I love it.
So I just want you to know that. That Mike, you forgot it. That was
that's like, yeah, you're right.
That's how I knew. That's why when Madonna called me and said, I can't do this. She wanted to add guitars and do all sorts of stuff like that.
Yeah.
I don't want to do that. I want to
make good for you.
All just electronic. And I just went, no, I'm not going to do this. And I went, that guy, Mike Murphy, I'm calling him.
So wow.
That's, and then he came over, and then the rest is history. And then we've been
the rest is history. Ever since, you know, happened for a reason, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
The cool thing about it is when I'm hearing you guys tell me the story, I'm seeing it right now. Like, you're saying it to me, so I'm picturing it and everything like that.
Right.
But it's awesome that you had somebody to work with you and that seen your voice and said, oh, wow, we can build around this. And, like, to build you, like, how you guys made your own sound with making these records. That's the beautiful part about it. And then the friendship and everything came just like that. And that's awesome.
Yeah.
Very awesome.
For sure. How did you guys find the ability? Because so many times we see groups that come out and they're great. We see duos and they wind up breaking apart. I know a lot of times that has to do with ego, right? We see a lot of ego in the industry and people's ego sometimes will even exceed their talent because they just start becoming down. How were you guys able to maintain that balance so that you could establish and keep a friendship and then this beautiful partnership to continue creating music for the ages and basically establishing yourselves, you know, cementing yourselves in the music industry?
Well, I think one of the things is that once we started to work together, we just never stopped working. We didn't really have time. We didn't actually have that much time to consider. First of all, everybody wanted us to work. Clive Davis, everybody wanted us to work. So immediately after we finished our first album, they wanted us to do Howard Johnson's album at the time, right? You remember So Fine, like a big hit. Angela Bofield from Clive Davis, Jeff Lorber, Step by Step. And we continued to do, in between every album that we were working on, we continued to do other ones. So as far as like ego things, we were working so hard.
You didn't even have to we were
going to sleep and then waking up and then working again, sometimes even not going to sleep. Yeah. So I think that part of that, that's part of the reason why we never even had a chance to even think about those kind of things. Because there was just so much to do, so many albums to make. So we made 5 albums. We also worked with Ashford and Simpson, did half of one of their albums, and many other artists that I'm...
Nona Hendrix.
Nona Hendrix. So many. Gavin Christopher, You Are Who You Love.
Chaka Khan. This Is My Night.
This Is My Night, Chaka Khan.
Because of what we were doing. Because we had a big draw in London, in the UK.
Right. That's
so
right.
At some point, I think we did 4 or 5 records. And remember Sheffield? Staying in Sheffield.
Yeah, we did so many. We did so many different projects that we didn't stop to think about like any of those kind of other issues at all. We were just the music was
absolutely
paramount. And that's what we did. So that's one of the reasons.
Wow.
You know, it's not as if we didn't have our own personal lives and we didn't, but we were, we were, my wife, my late wife used to say, wow, you know, you're, it's like you're married to Mike, you know.
You guys spend more time together than you do with me, right?
He gets all the grief. I don't get any of it, you know. So it's fine.
Yeah.
But that's probably, that's one. I mean, that's one of the things. And we kind of are still kind of just
working. Like,
I mean, we had like a time where we weren't working together for a number of years. But even during those years, there were a couple like moments where we did actually work really intensely together. And right. I don't know. Mike, what do you think?
Friends, too. You know, I told you about the Capricorn Scorpio thing.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah. This is a Scorpio. I'm a Capricorn. Our minds work differently, but one thing we both have is finish. You know, moving
right.
Finish. A lot of people get halfway and they kind of stop.
Talk about it.
Yeah, finish records.
But there's something about the two of us, you know, that. Where maybe I get stuck in a song and I'm like, I don't know. And then Dave will be like, no, man, this is the good thing about it. This
Let's
just work on this section. And then the same thing happened with David, you know, like where he'll say, I don't know. And I'll be like, no, that baseline.
Mm-hmm. That baseline, though.
Yeah.
That's a synergy that you can't manufacture anywhere. You know, it has to be natural.
And that's why
it's really work.
Lasting team. Because I
think.
No matter what we do individually, when we come together, it is the system.
You make beautiful magic.
Nobody.
I did want to ask you where you came up with your name, because you got your record deal in less than 24 hours. You didn't even have a name for your group.
Yeah. Right.
Where did you come up with that?
Well, so at the time, we were in the early ages of technology. So, you know, people were still calling them record players. And people were still calling it, you know, they had console stereos, but things were being called systems, sound systems.
Right.
Because
we came from different backgrounds. Me coming from Jamaica, Queens, and David coming from Boston, kind of socioeconomic and kind of background. I was like, wow, we really represent the system. We represent both ends of the spectrum. So we encompass. So it just seemed to work. And in fact, I think that name inspired the single, You're in My System.
Right.
And it worked out perfectly. Actually, the sentence came from Gone with the Wind. I was watching Gone with the Wind one Saturday, and the housemaid, what's her name? Mamie?
Patty McDaniels, right?
Yeah.
She says to the Gone with the Wind lady, I don't even know her name. She says, you just can't, he's in your system. You just can't get
Right.
And I don't know, 5 seconds.
That damn Scarlet.
I went over to his loft. We worked on, I don't know, Dave, that song came together. I'm like,
yeah. No, I remember Mike said to me on a plane, we were on a plane coming back from Florida from one of our first gigs where we had a few gigs in Florida and we were coming back and he said, I have an idea for a song. We got to I have an idea. You're in my system. You are in my system. And so that then I had a track actually a few weeks late and I kind of thought, I don't know. Especially then I wasn't really lyrically oriented, but I just thought, okay, great. You know, great.
It didn't sink in.
A few weeks later, I had a track. I started working on a track and Mike came and he said, this is going to be You're in My System. This song, that's what this song is going to be.
Wow.
And we worked it out and we wrote, actually, I just had the verse part and then we wrote the whole chorus part right there within an hour. You're in My System actually was written within an hour or hour and a half, maybe 2 hours.
Absolutely love it. T Money is giving you guys a shout out. He says, love your music. That's such a great friend of ours, friend to the show. We love you too, T Money, and we're so honored to have them here. I would definitely love to present your song if we can fast forward because, you know, I'd love to have you guys back. I know we all have busy afternoons. You have other things to tend to, but there's so much more in between that we can't even cover in this first hour. And I definitely do want to make sure that we play the song and we fast forward to where you guys are now and where this song came from and the inspiration behind it.
Yeah, David, you open up with this because you started this one.
Okay. Well, the track, actually, the musical track did come before the song, which often happens with us.
Yeah. You
know, Mike writes the melody and the lyrics. And
yep.
So I was actually in London visiting. I can't remember why I was there, but it was about 2.5 years ago. 2.5 years ago, maybe almost 3 years ago. And I went, and a friend of mine, a German friend of mine from Hamburg, who played keyboards with Sting's daughter, who's also a bass player. I've forgotten her name. I can't remember right now. But anyway, I had met him in LA, and he called me and he said, "Do you want to write something? Come over to my, I have a little studio." And I went to this Hasidic neighborhood, and it was in the back corner of a basement.
Another basement.
We all know, like,
so we got our humble beginning. We love the basement.
Yeah. They have like a little room where there's little like baskets of like nuts and bolts and stuff in one room, yeah. And over in the other room, for some reason they're renting it out to these musicians.
Wow.
So I went there and I was like, oh my God, this is like,
that's New York, right?
Talk about basements. It brought back memories for me. By the way, my studio is in my garage in my house. I just
want to. You see? We love it.
You can see it. It's a studio, but
right.
We were talking about basements and garages.
Yeah.
And my bands, when I was in high school, probably just like Mike, rehearsed in the basement and garages. We rehearsed in garages, and here I am still.
I love it.
Anyway, but so I was back there. I went back there, and I wrote a track. I mean, I just play everything, and he would record me, and we recorded this track, and I gave it to Mike, who then edited it and changed it around quite a bit, actually editing
it. Up.
And then wrote People Get Up, and you take it from there, Mike, because you're
so. I think, David, I had come to L.A. We were writing, it was probably at least a couple of years ago. A
couple of years ago, yeah.
This track is one that doesn't typically sound like the system. It doesn't. It's not like our, because it's all live. Dave played all the keyboards live, overdubbing and everything. So one thing we do a lot of is maybe David will do a track and we're able to change the key. Because maybe he's not writing it specifically for someone, but when you sequence it, you can always change the key, take it up a whole step, a half step, or whatever to get the perfect voice. But gave me this track, and I really loved it, even though it's not typically a system thing, but it's funk, and I come from funk.
It's very
funk. It still has the bass line, Mike. It still has, you know, it's still...
Well, it's a system, but it's not, you know
it's
what
not typical, yeah.
Yeah.
Keanu, you want to get into this record?
Yes.
Yeah, let's definitely do it. Can you guys intro it?
Yeah, this is People Get Up, featuring Grandmaster Melly Mel and Sandra St. Victor.
Right. We learn the blind lady might not hear a black man with his last breath fall for his mama like a baby. Taking a knee means we free. Don't be a tool for a beautiful computer. Want a print TV? Victory. Get your gloves, your mask, and your butt. And tell them whites and blacks. We can monster get up. Get up.
Going to drop the whole thing because we want everybody to go and download it. It's to drop tomorrow. You know, we're not going to give you all of it. We need you to go and listen to that. And I'd really love for you to explain the messaging behind the lyrics, because I was listening to it earlier. Like, this is where we need to be. And we need more music that's out here like this, that's motivating people to utilize their power and not just to fall. You know, we talk about the system, but you could look at the system in a different way as well. You look at like the American system, right? And the way in which that system is broken. So to see you guys coming together and creating this really motivational song for people to go out and utilize their power, I mean, I give you so much kudos.
No, I was going to say that Mike said this yesterday about it's the system taking on the system.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I'm glad you pointed that out. You know, one of the things about the song, which was actually really not written in this moment, like it was written a couple of years ago. Not that the issues weren't similar then, but it was actually before the current wave of protests and COVID and all that. But one of the most wonderful things about it is, I think, Melly Mel's first line.
Yeah.
When he says, we have the power to fight a trillion. We have the power to, what is it? Yeah,
we have the power to fight a trillion fights.
Fights. But yet we choose
to fight for
the right to get 100 likes.
So people are so focused.
Okay.
On
that is like
that is different.
Check me out, see me. That you forget.
Look at me, and there's no substance. We talk about this all the time because social media and the internet in general, I feel, has just created such a wall between people and their ability to really communicate or showcase who they really are, rather than the image of whom they'd like to be, how they want to be perceived.
Right.
You know, so. That's great. I mean, major shout out to Melly Mel. We caught him at the end of the night on my birthday last year for Rolling Loud, and we got a quick little interview.
Yeah, we'll check that out on YouTube, guys.
And Sandra St. Victor also.
Sandra,
look, we were both on Atlantic Records. David, you remember the Family Stand?
That's right. Yeah, Family Stand.
So when I was working on the song, I said, I need a female on this with some power.
Yes.
Power. And I was like, and I had just seen Sandra St. Victor perform at Lincoln Center, some show they had there for, you know, a show. And so she lives in Denmark. So I reached out to her and I was like, Sandra, I need you on this. And she kept pointing me to another. No, why don't you get this one in New York? That one in New York. I'm like, no. Sandra.
You.
You, I kept going back. It took a few conversations. I never told David this. It took like two or three conversations.
So convincing.
Okay, leave me alone. She just came in and killed it.
She definitely did. We've loved having you guys here. I know you have another appointment at 3:00, so I definitely want to, you know, give you some time to prepare for that. Please let everybody know where they can find you and where they can go and get this song tomorrow.
Where can they get it tomorrow?
Bandcamp. It'll be available on Bandcamp tomorrow.
Okay.
Right.
It's going to be available on all the platforms, I'm sure, over the next few days, but Bandcamp immediately.
Okay.
You can find us at The System Music on Instagram. You can find us on Twitter, the Science Lab Boys on Twitter, actually, because that was our studio.
Okay. And then The System fan page on Facebook.
Yes, exactly.
And then my Facebook page and Mike's Facebook page, and then Mike is Mike. You're The System Mick on Instagram.
Yep. Yep. And David is The System Mick. David.
And I'm David Frank The System.
Yeah. And we've got you guys tagged in our flyers, so you know, make sure you guys that are paying attention out in Instagram world, we'll be reposting everything.
Right.
And definitely with the audio and the video, we'll have all of your handles. Go and follow. Right. These dynamic,
please do.
Amazing creators. We are so blessed to have you here today. Thank you for being with us, guys. And
thank you, guys.
We wish you much continued success and blessings, and hope to have you back very soon so we can continue this discussion, because I know there's so much more.
Yeah, let's talk about the service rooms and things like that. But it's a pleasure. Thank you so much for having us on.
Thank you. Have a great day. And
be safe. Take care. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
VPR Radio with my girl Kiana and my DJ FMI.
Don't say I can't. win. Remember when I used to eat sardines for dinner? I'm so Long Island, my swag bug. My yard ain't 28 by 100, then why above? I know no from South Harlem, Brett Favre. Brooklyn, that's on cue when I'm set Marvin. You a rapper, you ass betting, a billionaire. You talking to him, a social media millionaire. Flee. Lex Coupe, the Beamer's in the Benz. To all of my ladies and my men. And all of my people going in. Keep your head up, we doing good. 3 million, 4 million worldwide. Ain't nothing wrong with puffin', no lie. And if you with me, let me hear you say.